My name's George Fort. I'm the founder of Place Cloud. And I want to thank, first of all, actually, Andrew for inviting me and Stella for organising this wonderful event. It's been really fascinating so far. So, I'm actually not going to talk specifically about Place Cloud. I'm going to talk more about geolocated audio and why I'm really interested in it and why I think it's actually potentially an extremely powerful entity and technology. Place Cloud has a lot in common with these other projects we've been hearing about. It's a map of stories, essentially, non-fiction stories. We've got an amazing group of contributors who are mainly scholars in various different fields, but also writers and other interesting people. And they've made place-specific audio recordings that we've put on a map. But yeah, I want to talk a bit more about the kind of philosophy behind that and why I set up Place Cloud in the first place. Yeah, so these two screens, if any of you have been on placecloud.io, which is the current website, you won't recognise these, because this is hot off the press, brand new screens which don't exist yet, they're mock-ups, but hopefully they're going to become real. We're going to build this by the end of the year, hopefully sooner. But this just explains what PlaceCloud does, and it allows anyone to make a recording, give it GPS coordinates. So essentially, that's the basic mechanics of it. It's very, very simple. But often when we think about geolocated audio, we think of a map of audio recordings, but I want to encourage you to think instead, as you can see on this screen, which is more of an augmented reality vision of geolocated audio. So I want you to imagine someone interesting, some original point of view, making an audio recording and actually being able to embed it out in the physical world where anyone could come across it as they walk around the city. And that idea of planting audio recordings out in the physical world, I think, is extremely powerful. And I'll try to explain why. And bear with me, because it's real kind of armchair philosophy stuff. It's my very personal idea of what's going on here, but I wanted to talk about it anyway. So, yes, these two guys, William Blake, Martin Heidegger, very profound thinkers. I'm a huge fan of this one. I'm also a huge fan of this one, which is controversial. Like him or loathe him, he was a very profound thinker. But they're extremely different, as you all know, I'm sure. But they say, in this case anyway, in this context, they said something very similar, and it's really pertinent. Blake said, where man is not, nature is barren. And whenever Blake talks about man, he's talking about the imaginative faculty in man. He always uses a capital I when he talks about the imagination. For him, it's a divine, active property. And Heidegger has said, language is the house of being. And again, we can kind of synonymize language and imagination, thought, the creative potential in man. These are all kind of the same thing, as opposed to matter, the physical world, nature. So these two very different thinkers are both saying that the imagination, human thought, is so powerful that, in Blake's case, without it, nature becomes barren. And for Heidegger, without it, there is no being, there is no reality. So being itself needs the human imagination to come forward. And nature needs the human imagination for its fecundity to become itself. So what we can take away from this is the imagination is extremely potent. So now I'm comparing the situation we have now, which is where knowledge is stored. It's stored in books, it's stored in the internet, the ivory tower, in libraries, in the archives. Just by necessity, we store knowledge away from the world, away from its object. There's this kind of dualism, the Cartesian split between mind and matter. And the reason I think geolocated audio is so interesting is that it doesn't have to do this. We can bring the human imagination, the human mind, out into the world. We can make the human mind coextensive with the physical world. So that potency that Blake and Heidegger recognized, we can use it out in the physical world. It doesn't have to be kept away, away from the world. So this is why I think it's extremely interesting. And let me just see what the next slide is. Okay, yes. So this is the current situation. When I open a book and read a story or read what's written in there, this potency of the human imagination, it enriches my own personal mind and my own personal world, my private world, but it doesn't really touch the physical world. That remains untouched. And this has been the case over the last several hundred years. And my kind of thesis, and take it or leave it, my thesis is that this has caused meaning and significance to slowly drain away from our physical surroundings and accumulate in this mental world that we've built up, which is now extended by the internet. And I don't know, I see it all the time. You walk down the street, so many people are on their smartphones. I do it as well. It's so addictive to look at your smartphone. But I reckon that part of the reason why it is it's not just the addictiveness of what's going on your phone, it's also the fact that the physical surroundings, the buildings that surround us, the streets, have drained away of meaning because of this process that we're talking about. If you don't know anything about a building, if you've got no personal experience about a building, it becomes void, it becomes meaningless, and it becomes actually extremely boring. You want to get away from it. And this is a kind of vicious circle. It happens more and more. The more meaning drains away from the physical world and accumulates in the internet, the more we want to go into the internet and into our phones and into our minds. And the more we do that, the less meaning there is in the physical world. So it's a kind of vicious circle. And so here's the antidote. Millions and millions of geolocated audios. When you go out into the city and you listen to one of these things and you're standing in front of a building and you hear a story told about that place really does come alive in a way that it wasn't before. It becomes a meaningful place. It has a history. It has a character. It has a personality. It almost becomes human. And it's almost as though the city being black and white, if you listen to one of these things, that particular place will become colourful and it will be permanently changed for you. It has this transfiguring power. So geolocated audio sounds prosaic if you talk about geolocated audio, but I want to put it to you that it's actually potentially extremely powerful piece of technology that has the power to animate and bring meaning back into our physical surroundings. Yeah, so this is the last slide. Because of this potency, this power, it becomes really important what is the content of the audio. If it has this transfiguring, animating power, which I suggest that it does, it becomes really important what is inside those, what are those stories telling? And so for me, as I run Place Clouds, and as I go through to the next phase, it's really important to me that we have as much diversity of contributors as we possibly can. And I put up here lots of different categories of the types of ways of seeing that you can possibly have. You can have a single building, a single place, and if a historian is looking at it, they'll be telling a very different story than a cultural geographer, who will also tell a different story to an architectural historian, or a poet, or a political activist. They all have very different ways of seeing a particular place, and if we look through each one of those narratives of a place, we will take on that vision as well. So it's vitally important for me that we have as much diversity of ways of seeing places as it's possible to have, because of the power of the effect that these things can have. I think that's it. That's it. Thank you very much. One tiny plug is if you have a look at PlaceCloud for sure, www.placecloud.io. But we'd love support on Twitter, because you know the ways that these things work. The more followers, the better, basically. So follow us on Twitter and retweet all our stuff, and that would be fantastic. Thank you very much.
Thanks.